Welcome to the Before Midnight podcast, coming to you from the N Plus One studios overlooking beautiful downtown Frankfort, Kentucky. In this podcast, we explore the world of endurance multi-sport. If it has to do with swimming, biking, running, or any combination of the three, we're there. This week, we're going to be talking about a number of different topics. We're kind of skipping around what's in the news. We're going to talk a little bit about doing some long runs and some mental training. I'm your host, Linda Word, along with my co-host, birthday boy, Brian Schenkenfelder. Happy birthday, Brian.
Woo-hoo! Thank you very much. Let's go. It's time to go. It's a new year for me. It's not only a new calendar year, but now it's a new year. I've been around the sun 48 times as the kids
baby.
Do school.
Yeah. I think that's the cutest thing that they do. I think that's awesome.
I was like, I could go to school and you could spend the whole day watching me walk around the sun.
Some of them do very small circles. What they do is they put a yellow or an orange balloon in the middle of the floor. Well, the hard part would for you, they have the parents come in because the kids are little and don't remember a whole lot. And the parents will tell something that happened each year of that child's life.
Yeah,
these kids are like 3, 4, 5, six, so it's not too hard. You 48 times, boy, we'd be there for a while.
I think that Alex's class still does that.
Yeah, I do. I think they do, yeah.
Yeah, because he's in the Montessori program. The Montessori program. It's a good way to illustrate a concept of that the Earth revolves around the sun.
Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah, I would have been walking for a very long time.
Well, I'd like to see you try to recall something from every year. That would be a little tougher.
Yeah, that'd be very tough. I don't have any notes from before smartphones, I don't think. I could go back and look at old calendars. Oh, no, good times. Yeah, it's birthday, which means a lot of food. Now I've got to spend months taking off the weight from just the last few days. Eating, Saturday eating, Sunday eating, probably tonight.
Get nailed at this time of year. I mean, it's just ridiculous. From Thanksgiving until now. Yeah, I mean, pretty much it'll be, the end of the month before all this stuff is gone out of your house.
Yes. I have not, stepped on a scale.
Probably a good idea.
I don't think I've put on too much weight. I've put on a few pounds. Yeah. It's also the start of my tri season. Because I'm thinking about doing age group nationals again. So I put that as if that's my key race for the year, let's back up. And I should have started base last week.
But, you knew your birthday was coming.
My preseason. I'm not ready to get out of off season mode yet. This week we'll start tiptoeing into preseason.
It's a tough transition. That's why I just don't.
It is a tough, especially this time of year when it's cold. Biking is a little more challenging. I'll have to get creative with how I do bike workouts. And for the most part, I just won't do as much. But yeah, I start having to get out there and do intervals in the run, on the treadmill. That'll be fun. This year I'm kind of changing it up. Start with some maybe marathon pace, half pace. Okay. Work my way down. Then
that
like
doesn't sound
think
sound too
about
horrible.
Doing a half marathon, but then won't. Because I have no desire to really do one.
Oh, come on. Do half with me this year.
How about no?
Okay. We'll just put you on the bike in front. Get you to lead cycle one or something. Oh. And you can call that a half marathon.
But yeah, no, it's good times, man. January 13th, no famous people have birthdays on January 13th.
Except for that weird guy from... that didn't make it.
Yes, William Hung. Yeah, we were talking about that before we came on. William Hung has a birthday on January the 13th. If you don't remember him, he was the third season of American Idol. He did She Bangs, Ricky Martin, and sang it badly off keys and couldn't dance.
Oh my God. And ended up with a cult following.
Yeah.
What the heck?
And had a music career. That's even
Which That's so bizarre. It's horrible.
But I do share a birthday with Nicole Eggert, who is a Baywatch star. We were born both same year, same day. That's exciting.
I'm glad you think
sharing
so.
A birthday with a hot blonde on TV is good. No, but the exciting one I share a birthday with is Egan Bernal, the reigning Tour de France champion.
Woo-hoo.
That's exciting. Man.
That's awesome.
That's a good one. The rest are kind of like, especially when you start going back through history, I'm like, okay, I don't know any of these people.
Wasn't there a bunch of
composers? Well, I mean, obviously they weren't of that obscure.
Was that Napoleon?
Buford, the general for the Union.
Oh, gotcha.
Napoleon Bonaparte Buford.
Okay.
Obviously, he was going to have a military career. His name was Napoleon Bonaparte.
I think mom and dad had a goal in mind there when they named him.
Oh my goodness, good times, man. But no, life is returning back to normalcy after the craziness of Christmas and the New Year and now my birthday.
Had the first week of school last week. Yes. Get your kid out of the house. Back at school. Was he excited?
He wasn't sad.
Like the rest of his teachers?
He's still young enough that he's not burnt out on school enough. So going back and being with friends isn't the end of the world.
Yeah.
Now give it 3 or 4 years and it'll be like, no, I don't want to go back. Well, I think this morning he was like, wouldn't it be great if we had like a week of school and then we were off a week? Week of school, off a week.
I agree. I like that calendar. I'll vote for that.
You won't learn anything. You'll forget it every week. Still be learning your ABCs if we were on that schedule.
Yeah, probably. Oh, yeah. First week back was a little tough over at the school. I ended up having two teachers out, one out the whole week, one out near the end of the week. And then we had our inspector showed up. I was like, oh, crap, it's that time of year. Did fine, but it was a little nerve-wracking. I'm like, oh, I had hurt my back. And normally I dress pretty nicely. You know, I'm the director. But I was feeling horrible that day. So I'm like in jeans and sneakers and comfortable. And I'm like, figures, she shows up today.
Good, well, gosh. Yeah.
You know, of course. So.
Well, can go wrong, often does.
Yeah. It's just one of those. It was fine.
At least you didn't get any major dings.
No. It was all little paperwork stuff that I was like, oh, I have that. It's just not filed in the right place. That kind of stuff. So no biggie. All went well for my first inspection. I didn't get fired. Didn't get fined. Yay!
There was much rejoicing.
Yay! Yes, lots of rejoicing.
You have seen like Monty Python, the Holy Grail, at least, haven't you?
Yeah.
I can at least use Monty Python quotes and you'll get them.
Yes. I'm English.
There was much rejoicing. Yay!
I'm English. So, yes, Monty Python was a large part of my childhood. The BBC. Yes.
Now, I will give Monty Python Circus, Flying Circus, they figured out something that Saturday Night Live still hasn't figured out.
Okay.
When the skit is funny, just go to something else. They don't bother to end their skits. They just move on.
Yeah.
Where Saturday Night Live tries to end their skits, and it's, like, painful. Because they'll have a funny part, and then they try to end it, and it's like, okay, this is no longer funny. This is dumb. Where Monty Python would just be like, announce to something else.
Now to something completely different. Love Monty Python.
Good times.
Yes. Lots of good times. Anything else happened? You didn't get to ride. We have warm temperature. Oh, shoot. I'm bringing in the weather. Sorry.
Look at this.
We cannot get away from the weather.
8 minutes and we got weather back again. We did have a warm day or two, though.
Yeah. And 67 degrees and 40 mile an hour.
I didn't go biking because every time I looked out, it looked like there were massive storm front clouds on the horizon.
Well, we had like 40 mile an hour gusts.
Well, that's not a problem. It's just wind. Makes going out much more challenging. Makes coming back much more fun.
Staying on the road a whole lot harder, but anyway.
No. You just got to have those elite road skills.
Okay, so we went to a Christmas party Saturday night. My husband, for whatever reason, instead of driving the little bitty Scion, decided that I needed to drive his new vehicle. My husband...
Was it down by the river? Sorry.
Actually, yes, but anyway.
My husband took the van down by the river?
We took the 2009? I don't know what year. My husband bought this huge conversion van. It's got a new motor in it, but this thing is, oh my God. Anyway, and he's like, you need to drive it. I'm like, why the hell do I need to drive this thing? Granted, in the past, I've had a CDL license. I've driven a bus. I know what it's like when it's windy. It's not a whole lot of fun, but he insisted that I drive that on the windiest night of the year to this party.
That's fun. I actually learned to drive in a big van. I learned to drive stick. Those like passenger conversions, big style
really?
Van. Yeah. I remember getting over by my parents' house. There was a stop sign that was on a pretty good slope.
Oops.
And some dude just pulls right up behind us, like right on my bumper. And I'm like, okay, this is where I learned to see if I can drive or not. You know, it was like a stick on the column too, man. It was even better.
Oh, gosh. I don't know that I ever drove a stick on the column. Yeah, mine were always on the floor. We had an Austin America. That's how I learned how to drive a stick. That was a little tiny car. It was like a square VW. And then, but I learned how to drive in a Volvo station wagon with no power steering. I had to have people help me parallel park because I wasn't strong enough to turn the steering wheel to parallel park with no power steering. That thing was like a tank.
My first car didn't have, I had an old diesel.
Yeah, but that's a rabbit. That's a little bitty. This was like a tank, like a little Fiat back-ended me once. Crumpled. I mean, totaled her car.
Oh, that was back when the Volvos were like tanks.
What was that? It, like little tiny bump. I'm like, well, my car's fine. I'm going to go.
I didn't get an automatic car until my Element 5 years ago.
Oh, really? Wow.
Everything I had before that was stick.
I'd like to find a stick shift so that my daughters can learn how to drive one. Just if they ever move to a bad area, they can just buy a stick shift and nobody will bother their car.
Makes it hard to steal.
Very hard to steal. They do know how to drive the tractors, though, so they at least understand the concept, but it's very different.
Oh, heck, even the tractors nowadays don't have a clutch.
All of ours do, but...
I mean, my New Holland I had 10, 12 years ago, automatic.
All of ours are stick.
But yeah, no, my first like 4 or 5 cars were all stick. I sought out sticks. Two Rabbits Mazda 626s. And a Civic Si. No, I owned a Civic and then a Civic Si. Civic Si was a fabulous car. Cool. That's what I got rid of when I got Element.
When you got the Element?
Cool. It made me sad. But we needed more space for kids. And now I have a van.
Now you have a minivan.
Yes.
Your child is never going to have to learn how to drive, really. By the time he gets up there, everything's... I mean, he'll have to learn how to drive, but...
I don't think he'll quite make the completely automated cars. But he probably won't drive for very long before all the automated cars. Well, nowadays kids don't want to learn to drive. And I'm like, you need to learn to drive so I don't have to drive your butt around places.
I made my daughter, my oldest daughter, get a driver's license. I'm like, I cannot do this anymore. You are 17 years old. I mean, she was dragging her feet. I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I need a life. I'm so tired of toting you around.
I do not understand that mentality at all. It was like, I get a license, I get to drive, I'm out of the house. Bye.
Right. Nope, neither one of my girls. Once the older child got her license, she just started driving around the younger one. So it was forever for the younger one to get her license. But it was, I'm scared. You know what? There's a lot of scary things in the world. You still have to suck it up, buttercup, and do it. Get brave and go do it. We're buying you a car. We're paying your insurance. Go! We had like 5 vehicles at the house and only 2 drivers at one point. I'm like, come on.
Yeah, I don't understand. I just don't understand the mentality. I guess they feel if like one friend drives, that friend will take them around everywhere.
But the friends weren't driving them. It was me. They just stayed at home and, you know, talked. I mean, maybe because of social media, I don't know, that they didn't have to go anywhere to be with their friends because all they had to do was get on their phone.
That's a lot of it. They don't feel the need to go anywhere because they communicate.
Electronically
now.
I guess. I mean.
I remember talking to my friend who's got 2 kids who, one's almost like a senior in high school, the other's in college. So when they didn't want to do sleepovers because you can't game on the same console anymore. So you have to have your own console. So they would much rather stay home and game.
And game with their friends.
Yeah.
Wow. Huh.
Then come over and spend the
night
when they
can't
game. The world
has changed so much.
But the whole not driving thing is, to me, is just absolutely bizarre. Just the ability to go anywhere you want. The freedom associated with that is...
Yeah, I don't understand why kids don't want that. Or so many kids, so many more kids don't see that side of it and don't care. I mean, my girls would be happy if they still didn't have driver's licenses.
I guess they just don't want to go anywhere. They just want to stay at home all the time.
I mean, maybe because the world comes to them. Whereas when we were kids, we had to leave. You know, you had 3 TV channels. I don't know. It's a really interesting
Yeah, how do you go out and, like, meet people?
They don't have to anymore.
You know, they don't even know what a back seat is.
We're supposed to keep this podcast G-rated, Brian.
Where'd your mind go?
Oops. Oh,
good
dear.
Good times.
All righty. Well, anything else happened this weekend? Last week?
No, it's all good. I'm ready to go, man. It's that time of the year, man. Let's go. It's Monday.
Ready to go train. Yeah, I took a misstep last week. I've been doing a whole lot of swimming because my ankle's been all... So I'll try and run tomorrow. Lots of swimming for me.
Of course you're going to try to run. It's all bad, but we'll try again if it hurts some more. Heal. Let it heal.
It's not my heel, it's my ankle.
Let it heal, let it heal.
We were talking about Frozen earlier too, weren't we? Oh my gosh. Conversation's going round. Alrighty. Well, let's see. What did I see that was in the news on Facebook? What was it? The Dopey Weekend happened in Disney in Florida. And they had to red flag the race because it got to, oh my gosh, a whole 81 degrees. That was kind of crazy.
That's a runner. Because in triathlon, that's like, that was probably a cool day because you'd have started in the 70s. By the time the run comes around, it's in the 80s.
Well, and those races start at 3 o'clock in the morning because what did we figure out? 17,000 people. I mean, I don't know how long it takes. It takes a couple hours sometimes to even get over the start line. So
I can't imagine doing a race of that size. That would just be so mind-numbingly dumb just waiting there to start.
I mean, Boston had, 32,000 runners, but they only had 5 corrals. So you really, I was waiting for a while when I got to the corral. They're very, you know, and I'm sure Disney is very good about moving people. But I could run as soon as I got across the start line. Right. At Disney, apparently, a lot of times you can't because people are just walking.
Yeah.
No, I have no desire to do that.
Disney's one of those big experience races, though, right? Aren't they? Isn't it like super expensive? It's like $200.
Yeah.
Like
one, was it 185 for the 185. Marathon? And if you're doing the Dopey Challenge, which is the 5K, 10K, half and full, it was $350.
Wow.
To do 4 races, and you get 5 medals or 6 medals or something.
It's interesting how the marathon prices are starting to go up because we were looking at the rock and roll prices as well, and like DC and stuff is 120, 130. I don't even want to know what the Las Vegas one is. That's already closed.
And the race is not until like November, and it's already sold out. That's crazy.
And all the raise money ones are sold out too.
The charity bibs?
Yeah.
Are all sold out already for a race in November. And those people have to go to raise like $2,000-$3,000.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Oh my gosh.
Apparently that's a very popular marathon.
Apparently. I mean, Vegas, you know, well, my husband just spent several months and he said it's not nearly as much fun as it used to be. Just saying, but.
Vegas scares me.
Why does Vegas scare you?
It's just got too much stuff out there that would be bad for me.
Like poisonous snakes or gambling?
No, all the things that are legal out there scare me. I may never come back.
We would send Jenny with you. Just to make sure you'd get bored of it.
You would think that.
I don't know. There's no open water to go swimming in. That would be a hard place to train. No hills. Everything's flat, isn't it?
You take the weekend trip down to Utah.
Okay. Well, we obviously, Brian and I are not going to be doing Disney races anytime soon. We do get a lot of people wanting to get a better corral placement because if you don't have a good time, they stick you way in the back. So I've seen a lot of runners that are like, I need to get better 10K time so that I get a better corral placement so I'm not sitting there for 2 hours trying to get across the start line. Makes sense.
Yeah.
But then I saw that they've got a VIP program where you can pay them $800 for the VIP experience, including upgrading your corral. So you can still be slow and get in front of other people.
Well, that's the Disney way. I mean, they have the line hopping passes. So might as well bring that to the marathon.
Might as well bring that to the race. This is just all sounding horrible to me.
Well, I can't imagine that many people are going to pay that much money to move up.
I'm sure a lot of people
will. Sure a lot of people did. Yeah, if you have 3,000 people and let's say 100 of them sign up, that's not going to be too much of a...
3,000? We're talking 17,000.
Well, I'm talking about like in a corral.
Oh, so in a corral.
So if you move up and you've got 2,000 or 3,000 people in a corral and you bring in another 100 people who are slow, probably they're going to probably sit in the back of that corral anyway, most likely.
Hopefully. I just think it's funny. You have to stand in front of the balloon ladies and Tinkerbell. Where you get swept off the course. And apparently they are very, very strict because they've got to open up the park.
Yes.
So that's the goal, is to stay in front of the balloon ladies.
That's better than like Iron Man because their sweeping is usually cop cars.
Do they put you in the cop car?
I don't.
Okay.
They've got like vans and stuff.
We'll talk about this another podcast probably, but what is the cutoff time for our Iron Man? How many hours do you have to complete a full Iron Man, or does it depend?
It's 17 and a half. Because they used to go off at 7:30 in the morning and you had to be done by midnight.
Okay.
Now they've... Iron Man has changed to a specific amount of time because they had a lot of slow swimmers who... Or the slow people, the people who were in danger of not making the midnight cutoff, would try to get in the water first. And they tended to be bad swimmers. It created problems.
Ooh.
Because they wanted to have the maximum amount of time possible to finish the race.
Well, yeah.
Rather than wait the 30 or 40 minutes and go in.
No, I know. I mean, it's a different type of race. But I know in Boston, like, there was a guy running, and there's charity runners and stuff. And there was a guy, and he has run every Boston for 25 years. They let him start, like, way early so that he would finish before they closed the roads. You know, before they had to open up the roads. So... I guess Iron Man's not doing that because it jams up the water.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because it's the water safety issues.
Yeah.
You don't want slow swimmers in front of a lot of your faster swimmers because they will just swim over the top of them.
Yeah.
If I'm an experienced swimmer and you're like struggling and I'm pinned in, I'm swimming over top of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I try to go around you, but...
Do you have to submit a swim time to get seated for Iron Man?
No.
Okay.
What they've done here recently in the last couple of years is they'll put like your estimated swim time and they kind of like group you around your estimated swim times.
So you do have to submit a time.
No, it's just self-seating.
Okay.
But they try to like, okay, if you're going to be an hour swimmer, be in this kind of group. If you're going to be an hour 15 minute swimmer, be in this group.
You don't have to submit proof or anything
like that. No, no. And Ironman, all these races are all about the experience. That's how they... justify their ridiculous rates for for races.
What's Iron Man $300-$400?
Oh no, like a full is like $600.
What?
The halves are $300.
Seriously?
Yes.
Oh.
Well, I mean, how much is the Disney Marathon? $160 for just a marathon?
$185 for just the marathon.
The Rock and Rolls were $150, $160.
Boston was less than $200.
But you're talking about a marathon. I mean, you're talking about half the infrastructure necessary than a triathlon.
$600. Whoa.
And a lot of it's because it's the experience. They have multiple stops on the bike. They have run every mile on the run. They've got huge aid station. They got to be able to close all that down for the race.
Yeah. I have road closures. Probably the biggest expense is the police.
Oh, you have to have police for that, especially on a 112-mile course. Now, granted, like Louisville's only like 50 miles, but still you have to have cops out there forever.
Yeah.
On all those intersections.
Is it closed? The road's closed for the bike in Louisville?
I don't know. Probably not.
Okay.
Because people live on them. But
yeah,
with as many athletes are out there, it's effectively.
Yeah.
Because your chances of getting out or through are just small. Because you know, they only have like these little small windows.
They do close the run course.
Yes. No, that is not... you can't drive on the course, but you can go across.
Okay. Okay, gotcha.
But once you get to a certain point in that race...
There's no way you're going across.
There's no way you're going across.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons they changed the run route here this last year.
Okay.
Because it used to go pretty much all the way into... it went south from downtown, and it basically divided the city in half, and there was no way to cross over. You have all these lines of cars... A little unhappy
with that.
Yeah.
We talked to a guy this weekend, actually, that was the lead cycle for the marathon a couple years ago.
Which is always fun.
That is fun, yeah, when you're getting a ride with, what did he say, they were clipping along at a 6-something pace. He was amazed after doing 112 bike and a 2.4-mile swim.
That they're still running
running 6-minute miles for the marathon. Whew.
Good athletes.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, a lot of training. Yeah, we were talking a bit about, so that'll segue us into talking about long runs and longer distance training. Good God, when you're having to be out there for hours and hours, especially if you got to do it on your own, what are some tips to not go out of your mind or give up? A lot of people will just stop.
But first, we should have a word from our sponsor.
We should have a word from our sponsor. Well, we'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, 3-Sport Endurance Coaching. 3SE works with single and multi-sport athletes, 5K runners, sprint triathletes, Ironman, 100-mile trail runners. We're competitors ourselves with real lives and families and birthdays.
That's right.
Go around the sun. We understand trying to fit it all in, trying to eat right when there's birthday cake everywhere and bourbon balls.
Yes. And restaurant food.
Ooh, yeah, that's not all healthy. No. And alcohol.
Alcohol, beer.
Lots and lots of calories.
Bourbon.
Oh, so we help you. 3SE will help you manage all of that along with your regular life. We train athletes to reach their goals and go beyond the next PR to become more confident and skilled at your chosen sport. If you're looking for a coach, check us out at go3sport.com. So we were talking about how to get through long training sessions. What are some mental tricks of the trade to try and stay on that treadmill if it's crappy out? Or the trainer because it's crappy out. Or the pool forever and ever and ever. I had a long swim yesterday and that was like, oh my God. When there's nobody to talk to.
There's nobody to talk to.
See, you train on your own.
I do train on my own.
Most of my stuff is trained on my own.
I don't do really long runs, but no. I do fairly significant bikes where I'll be out there 2, 3, 4
How long
hours
are your swims?
Bike. I'm using the pool for about an hour and 10 minutes.
Okay.
Not too long.
That's not too horribly.
I don't swim though. I get about 2,000. I move on, however long that takes. But the bike is where I'll spend a ton of time. You know, I have different strategies myself, but I think the big thing, the reason people struggle with it comes back to the fact that they are, what would be the term I would use? We're bored.
Mind-numbing boredom, yeah.
And people have problems sitting still nowadays. We've moved into this culture of instant entertainment. If you're bored, what do?
Pull out your phone and start perusing social media.
Watch a video, read news, look up something. There's always something to do to avoid boredom for not doing anything.
Right.
We were at the mall like 2 weeks ago, and it's like everywhere you went, people were looking at their phone, walking around. You go to restaurants and people are looking at their phone.
Yeah, that's bad. I was very proud of us when we all went out to eat with our spouses a few weeks ago and nobody looked at a phone. Yes. Unless we were looking up something that had to do with the conversation. I was like, I'm so proud of us.
We've gotten to this point where we need this instant gratification all the time. And that is why these long runs, these long bikes, long swims are boring. We're not used to doing nothing, sitting still and doing nothing.
Yeah.
You know, my first tip for people is to take up meditation. Meditation is not some be-all, end-all, but it does force you to sit still for a little bit. It forces you to try to be in the moment, try not to just have your mind fluttering about all over the place. That to me is kind of the first step to then taking that into your workouts. If I can focus on something for an extended for 5-10 minutes or whatever, now I can take this into running, mm-hmm. take this into swimming, take this into biking. For me, like long swims, usually I'm focusing on one thing, some key moment, and then if I'm not doing that, I'm counting strokes. The longer swims, I'll count strokes. And just I use that to kind of keep track of distance. So mm-hmm. when I did the hour swim, I kind of knew how far I would swim, so I could just count strokes. Tell me how far I was in my swim. And you just count strokes. And that became kind of my mantra to stay in the moment and continue to swim mm-hmm. and not get just bored and be like, this is dumb, which it is.
No, it's not.
I hate the hour swim.
I'm kind of looking forward to it, but anyway.
I hate the hour swim. It's not interesting to me at all to sit there and go back and forth in a pool. Just isn't. I like to have the sets broken up. I like to do different things.
Well, then do different sets. But anyway, that's a whole nother.
Well, that doesn't really work. The hour swim is, since you're trying to go a certain distance, you kind of have to do freestyle if you're going to go that route. Or you can just do how many 400 IMs you can get into an hour like I did last year.
Well, that's what you did. Yeah. But I mean, you could have...
In theory, I could break it out, do a couple hundred in freestyle and do some IMs and things of that nature.
Shoot, do drills. I mean, who cares? You're just not stopping.
And then people will be like, well, I swam further than you, because that's the way that always works.
Yeah. Who cares? So?
I'm the coach, man. I can't be. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I am too, but you know
I can't swim that far compared to like some of our faster swimmers.
Well, yeah. I mean, our faster swimmers are, you know, we have one swimmer. Let's go for a 10-mile swim. Okay. But she's a different beast. I don't know how she does that. Talk about mental focus. Good heavens.
Yeah. You get used to it. You count strokes. You focus on technique. There's a lot of things that you can do that keep boredom from occurring. Because the reason you're bored is, number one, you're used to this instant gratification culture. So if this isn't interesting or anything like that, I'm like, this isn't fun. This isn't something I want to do. I begin to dread these long workouts because of that. You need to be like, okay, now I'm okay with just counting my strokes and seeing if I can either reduce the count or maintain my stroke count over time between each length of the pool.
For me, it's thinking about doing flip turns now, because that's what I'm practicing. So, you know, I'm not very good at it. So it's like, okay, I'm like using the 25 to figure out, to think about how I'm going to do the flip turn.
I will get into breathing patterns. That's a lot of things what I'll do in open water, is try to maintain a particular breathing pattern.
That's a pattern, a really good idea. Yeah.
Breathing, sighting pattern.
Yeah.
So I sight every 6 or 8 strokes. Mm-hmm. I breathe 3 to the right, 3 to the left. And then on one of those transitions over is when I sight. So yeah. I don't actually breathe when I sight, which allows me to stay low profile on my sighting too.
Okay.
But since I can breathe out both sides,
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
And I forgot which crossover I do my sighting on, but I usually cross over because I swim 3 or 4 strokes on one side, 3 or 4 strokes. And when I cross over is when I do my sighting.
Makes sense.
And that's how I stay focused in the longer swims, that and where I'm going, making sure I'm on target.
I mean, the good thing about biking and running is that you can do those outside. So at least you have some different scenery to look at. I know for me, doing long runs, if I'm doing a long run on my own, you know, planning out my route, planning where I'm going to go, where I'm going to take breaks, because, you know, I'll plant water or whatever. And that keeps it much more interesting. On the treadmill, that's a whole different story.
See, for me, running, just I don't get that whole interest of scenery because it doesn't come by fast enough.
Because you're such a biker.
You run, and it's like you see the same damn thing for the length. A mile's not very far.
But you get to enjoy it. And I don't know, there's some, you know, here in Frankfurt, I'll run a lot downtown. And I'm a former smoker. And one of the things that amazed me when I first started running was, oh my God, everything smells so good. If you run around in the morning and you smell people cooking bacon and stuff. I don't know. I find interesting things.
You get the bourbon smell. You get the bourbon mash, smell, man. Too. That's always a good smell. Get that mash going.
Yeah. Depending on the humidity in the air is how much you smell that. Oof. I might go the other way.
I love that bourbon mash smell. It's good stuff.
Yuck. Anyway.
For me, running is more about, it's generally more meditative for me, where I'll focus on breathing. I'll focus on technique. Usually I kind of rotate around through things, where I'll focus on breathing for a little bit, then I'll move into, is my technique good? Am I still tall? Am I have a good lean? Are my shoulders neutral and not pulled back? Those types of things. I'll also count steps.
I do that.
One of the downsides to having like a run watch that has your cadence on your wrist, I used to calculate my own cadence. And that's what I'd actually do on the treadmill. That's what actually will take up a bunch of time on my treadmill. Rather than look at my cadence, I will start at a time and count steps for a minute. I'll count like right footfalls and then multiply by 2, and that gives me my cadence.
Okay.
A lot of times I'll do that, much like counting strokes in the pool, which is a very similar type of environment, back and forth, pretty boring, looking at the same thing all the time.
Yeah.
Treadmill's the same way. I'll do a lot of counting strokes, and your time will go by amazingly fast counting steps.
When I'm doing intervals, I'll count steps just because I know I'm counting down on time, you know, if I'm doing whatever 7-minute interval or something.
I'm just trying not to die on intervals.
Well, that too, and that's why I count. It's like, okay, I'll glance at the clock. It's like, all right, I got 30 seconds. 1, 2, 3. And I know I know it's not a second, so I'll glance down, and usually I'm ahead of the game. So that's not, it's like, oh, good, I'm almost done.
If I count anything, it's usually my breaths.
Oh, God, if I did that, I'd just pass out.
Try to count my
So breathing. You don't do, what's your longest run distance is quite short, though.
An hour and 2.
So those of us, there's, if you're training for a marathon, you got to be out there for 3 hours. Yeah, find a buddy.
But I will bike 4 or 5, so, or 4 hours in the summer. So I'm used to being out there by myself for an extended period of time.
True. And well, and that's where you use the scenery and hills and things like that.
That helps.
Still what's coming up next.
You know, biking has a little more in that you're always shifting. You're always getting in position to go down a hill, go up a hill, cornering. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of technique you can potentially work on too, your cadence. Mm-hmm. All those things. I've never been able to count my cadence on a. That's a little too. I've always used the cadence meters to figure out my cadence on a bike.
That would be an odd one, though. Yeah, I mean, you'd have to really be paying attention to whenever your foot was down.
Yes.
And it's also much higher.
Yes.
You know, you're talking.
It would just be a lot more different. I've just never have done it on a bike.
Yeah.
You know, but I've been out there for long times, and usually, again, it's all about focusing on what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's my cadence? What's my power in the zone it needs to be? Am I in the right gearing all the time? Do I need a shift coming? It's really a lot about focusing on those types of things. I try not to, you know, a lot of people will try to use distractions like music as a way to do those
on
things.
On the bike? No. Not
the
a
bike
good
is
idea.
Dangerous. I know people that will put like on their bike, not in their ear, but on the bike itself.
Yeah.
Like those little Bluetooth speakers and stuff.
I've seen the aftershock or the bone conducting headphones advertised for cyclists.
Yeah.
And that bothers me a lot. I know you can still hear the outside noise, but don't do that.
You know, like I said, I've seen people put the little Bluetooth speakers on their bike. That's usually the most common.
Yeah.
Probably the safest way to do it.
Yeah.
But you'll see it in the runners. That's what they use for their distraction is music rather than focus on what they need to do.
Well, I mean, I use music running, but more as a cadence, as a way to regulate breathing. You know, way to regulate my stride. I know, you know, it depends on the music. If you've got slow music, you're going to slow down. But if it's a long run, it doesn't matter. So,
well, see, I would argue that you've tried to keep your cadence the same the entire run and probably a lot higher than most.
Yeah.
It's about focus. And I get it. It's much harder nowadays. Like I said, people don't have that ability to sit and focus on mundane things for extended periods of time. Because that's really what you have to become good at if you want to excel at these long distance runs and not be bored out of your mind. Now, if you're looking for distractions, the best thing to have is probably someone else.
Yeah.
Where you talk.
Yep.
Same thing with biking. A 4-hour ride biking with someone else is a lot faster than when you do it on your own.
Yeah. It's a whole lot more fun.
It's just a different experience. I'm not going to say it's more fun or less fun. It's just a different experience.
I just know for me, running, like when things went south during marathon, having music was a godsend because it did distract me because I needed to be distracted. But then once I got over hitting the wall and then ate something, I didn't need it anymore. I turned it off.
Yeah.
But so it has a place.
Now what I will do if I'm not able to really be focused in on the day, I try to take something, a problem I have at work or a concept I'm trying to think through, and I will focus on something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And work through those types of problems. Since I have time, I'm not focused on what I'm doing, I might as well be productive with my time rather than just mindlessly listen to music or whatever. I'm actually going to work through some type of concept
issue
mm-hmm. or something that is applicable to later on in my day or week or whatever it might be.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, if I'm trying to think through a topic for, say, a podcast like this, I may go through it in my head while I'm out there writing if I'm not able to really focus in on what I'm doing. I would prefer to be focused in on what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But like everything else, it's not always possible.
Yeah.
And rather than just be bored or dreaded or mindlessly listen to music or something like that, I'll try to make a more
productive
use of that downtime
mm-hmm.
when I'm out doing.
No, that makes sense. When I'm putting kids down for a nap and I can't move and all I can do is sit there, I do a lot of that. It's either that or I'm going to go to sleep. Oh, my goodness.
And that's what I try to do when I'm out there. Are there still times when you're going to be bored out there? Yes.
Yeah.
To some extent, any athletic inventor or any endeavor whatsoever that is worth anything is going to have a grind element to it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you just have to grind.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just fight through it. Not always is it going to be fun. There are things you can do to distract at times, but it doesn't always work.
Sounds like some good tips. Mental toughness. But it's something,
people look at that as mental toughness, but really it's a mechanism that is applicable. And especially if you can get into the whole breathing or, like if I'm running, if I'm breathing and focusing on form, that is actually highly applicable to race day.
Oh, yes.
And what I'm practicing with a lot of this stuff and the mindfulness side of it is getting ready for race day.
Mm-hmm.
So that when I'm out there racing, I can stay now and not have to, you know, if I use distraction to get through a lot of this stuff, once race day comes around, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, put your headphones in and hope that gets you through. You know, that doesn't keep you in the moment. That is not going to give you your best results.
Yeah.
You got to be able to race where those things aren't there.
Yeah.
And that is one nice thing about doing that in training, is it prepares you for race day. And being there and having the ability to stay in the moment and get ready and have your best race. That's when it happens, when you're in the flow, when you're in the moment, the hyper-focus of the now. That's been proven throughout sports.
Yep.
So.
Agreed. All right. Great tips. If you're looking for a coach, give us a holler. Go3sport.com. Have an awesome day and happy birthday again, Brian.
Thank you very much.